Well, once again, good to be with you this morning. Let's begin our hearing this morning of God's Word with a word of prayer. Lord, sanctify us. Make us holy by your great glory. That's what Epiphany is. It's the revealing of your amazing glory so that we can know you and love you for who you are. Show us your glory this morning that we might have a heart like yours. Sanctify us by the truth, for your word is truth. Amen. So, shame is one of the very powerful emotions that we as human beings experience. Shame is a universal emotion. Everybody goes through it at some point or another. And shame is different from guilt. Guilt is, I did something bad. Okay, that's basically what guilt is. I did something bad, so you mess up and you say, oh, I was wrong, I did something bad. Shame is not guilt. Shame is something of, I'm a bad person. It's a social phenomenon. And so we experience it and we say, I'm a bad person in some way compared to other people. And so let me give an example. Let's say I plan to meet you for coffee. Got a time set, and I pull into the parking spot, and I'm 6 minutes late, and as I'm walking to the door, I think to myself, oh man, I really hope that they're not here yet. Maybe they're running late too. That would be great, you know. I really hope that they're not on time. And I pull open the door, and my heart sinks, right? Because the person is sitting right there. Now, what do you say to yourself in that moment? What I say to myself, I think, I'm not responsible enough to be a pastor. I'm obviously just a really bad person. I'm not responsible enough to be a pastor and to show up on time. That's shame. Right? I am thinking that I'm a bad person because I can't get there on time and I'm not responsible enough. Now, shame is, like I said, it's a social phenomenon, and so we experience it as a fear of disconnect from other people. When I go to coffee, I'm afraid that you will think I am less of a person, that I'm not a good enough person to be a pastor. And so we get a gap in between us. We experience a disconnect because I'm afraid that you're thinking less of me. You know where I see this a lot, where this really shows up, is in making pastoral calls on people. See, if I call you and you see either Peace's number or my cell phone number ring on your phone, you look at it and you're like, it's Pastor. You say, oh, great! I'd love to talk to Pastor. He's a little bit crazy. Come on, I know that's what you all think. He's a little bit crazy, but still, he's always got something fun, you know, we got some good news for me in my life. If that's what you think, great, right? But if you're a person who you see that number and you're like, oh, yeah, end that call, don't want to talk to him, because he's going to say either, I don't give enough, I don't serve enough, I'm not active enough, I don't love other people enough. If that's how you feel when you see my number, then you know shame. Right? We experience it as a social phenomenon in that way. And that's really why the gospel is so amazing, so wonderful, so powerful. Because the gospel says to us that we don't have to be afraid of disconnection. We are connected to somebody far greater, somebody far higher, somebody more powerful, and we don't have to fear disconnect. We can actually get reconnected to the people around us. And there was a cool little example of this. I think it was Christmas Eve during World War II. The German and the Allied soldiers, you know, they're dug into their trenches across from each other. And one of the I think it was an Allied soldier, I'm not even sure anymore, I don't remember, stands up and he starts singing Silent Night as midnight comes around. Everybody's waiting for dawn to come so they can start shooting at each other again. But he stands up and he starts singing Silent Night, and pretty soon everybody else is singing Silent Night together. And here you've got two enemies with irreconcilable differences. They'll never figure out how to get along. But the gospel, in the middle of the night on Christmas Eve, the gospel has brought them back together. That's what the gospel does, right? The gospel reconciles people with irreconcilable differences. It connects us to somebody higher. And so Paul today God, through Paul, wants to tell you this thing, that connected Christians put on a show for each other. Oh, where did I put that? Well, forget it. I didn't write it down, obviously. My big idea, and I forgot to write it down. Connected Christians put on a show. And it starts out all like this, that Paul and God knows that we're disconnected. He knows just how disconnected we really are, and we should know just how disconnected we are because of how much shame we experience in life. That's been one of the really sad but significant side effects of the recession and the downturn after it. There's a lot of shame going around. People in the business world are saying, I'm not smart enough to get ahead. I'm not adaptive enough to do my job. I'm not talented enough. I'm not skilled enough. People in neighboring, just in their communities, find themselves saying, I'm not present enough, or they're not present enough in our communities to be part of this neighborhood anymore. When we look at our politicians, we find ourselves saying, well, they're not blank enough, right? They're not conservative enough, they're not liberal enough, they're not forward-thinking enough, they're not whatever enough. And maybe I know that that's a phenomenon we experience too in church, isn't it? The disconnect is pretty significant there too as well. Here we say, I'm not whatever enough. All of that is the shame that we experience because of how disconnected we are. And some people might say, well, you know, that's just a feeling. We should just get over it. It's not real. But you know what the Bible does say is that it is quite real and it is quite significant. In the beginning, there's this event where Moses tells us about Adam and his wife. Adam and his wife, he says, they are naked and they felt no shame. This is Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. Can you imagine walking down Allegan Avenue, totally naked and not feeling any shame? Don't imagine that too much. It gives me the willies, right? Don't think about that one. But can you imagine that? I can't even imagine doing that in my own house. No, don't imagine it. But that's what God says, right? See, you're not supposed to feel this shame. You're not supposed to feel this disconnect. It's a very real thing that has come about for us. Whatever the disconnect, though, that we experience, it's nothing compared to the disconnect that God overcame in the ancient world. In our lesson today, we hear these words from Paul writing to the Ephesians. And the big point of Paul writing to the Ephesians is to tell people of the glory of God to put the people together in the church. Ephesians, more than any other letter, is about the church. That's what Paul is writing to do. And in these words, he uses in verse 6, a pretty important phrase for us. You might have heard this phrase. See, Paul in those words says, verse 6, the mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. Did you see those words? The Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. Whatever the disconnect we feel, it's nothing like the disconnect that they felt. Republican and Democrat, liberal, conservative, progressive, traditional, you know, rich, poor, all of those things are nothing like Israelite and Gentile. Because what God had said to his people is he had said, all right, you're my people, Israel. I'm your God. Here is what you need to do to keep this relationship. And here's the things you need to do to fix this relationship if it gets broken. And as long as you do those things, you're going to live really long lives. You're going to experience a great life here and forever. It's going to be wonderful for you. And then what God said was, you need to be a light to the world. You need to show the whole world what it means to have a relationship with me. And it doesn't matter whether they are Greeks or Romans or Egyptians or Persians. You're a light to all of them. You can hear the message then that people would have taken away. They're not good enough. And that's just what happened. The Gentiles, whether they were Romans or Egyptians or Greeks, they did take the message away that they're not good enough. Sometimes the Jews did a really good job of reaching other people. Okay, but one New Testament scholar tells us that this is what ended up happening at that time. Here's what everybody took away. He said, "Of course, Jews who lived in day-to-day contact with Gentiles, as many of them did even in Palestine itself, they had no choice but to mix with them regularly and quite freely. The writings from the time give us a fairly clear sense that Gentiles were presumed to be in principle idolaters, immoral, and ritually impure. That maybe doesn't sound like a whole lot to us. It's just big words. But you know what the big sign of the disconnect was in those days? The temple had a couple of different levels, and there was a sign on the door to the temple that said, only Jews beyond this point. Can you imagine if we put a sign on that door that said, Otsego residents only? That's what it was. How disconnected would every one of you from Plainwell feel right now? You couldn't even be here. You'd have to be sitting out in the lobby to hear us. That's the disconnect that they felt. If you've ever had somebody say to you, you know, you're a Christian just because of where you were born, just because you're an American, and you're that kind of a Christian just because you were born into that family, and you felt to yourself, hey, how dare you say that, right? I that's not true. I can't do anything about this anyway. See, that's what happened to all of those Gentiles. They were so angry because there was nothing that they could fix, but they were still disconnected anyway. This is the first thing that's going to help us get over our disconnect, that we feel shame because we really are disconnected. It's a true and it's a real thing. And what's going to then get us past this disconnect and over the shame is vulnerability. It's when somebody is vulnerable. I had an example that really showed me what not to do one time in life. I was sitting in a room with about 10 other students of the Bible, and we were discussing the text of Romans. Okay, we were having a discussion not on what Romans meant, but where the words in Romans came from and what were the original words. It was so esoteric, 99.9% of humanity would have said, this is terrible, okay, right? But I had an acquaintance who was giving this little presentation or talk, and one of the top five scholars of the New Testament text was sitting right there. Okay, he was sitting right there. And I thought my acquaintance did a really good job. He was really brave. He made a point. He argued his case. He had a lot of courage in the whole thing. And I came up to him afterwards, and I said, good job! Great work! That was a really nice job and everything. And he, you know what he did to me? He brushed me off. He said, don't be like that, man. That's not cool. Don't do that here. He was worried about what that guy was thinking. He pushed me away. See, what God has done for us, for you, and for me in Jesus, is God became vulnerable. God became a baby. Not even a man who could have protected himself. God became a baby. He needed to be fed. He needed to be hugged. He needed to be snuggled and loved. He needed help to reach stuff on the shelf. He was sad when his friends didn't want to play with him. He probably didn't like to go to school sometimes and wanted to stay home. He was sad when his friends died. He was abandoned by his own friends. He was lonely. He lost his parents. He was forgotten by his own people. He was put on trial. He was accused of terrible things that he didn't do. God showed up and he opened himself up. And he put himself on a cross and he hung there naked for the whole world to see. There should have been shame, but the thing is that he didn't feel an ounce of shame. Because he wants to be connected to you. God didn't say, then get away, like my acquaintance did. He said, come to me. Didn't he? Come to me with your burdens and your cares. Come to me with your worries and your sorrows. Come to me with your sickness. Come with your death. Come with your shame. Come with your guilt. Come with your sins. Come to me. See, and God's vulnerability there creates connection. God's vulnerability there creates connection. Do you know what this mystery can really do for us then? See, what this mystery does for you and me, Paul tells, he says, this is something that you're going to need to spend your life unpacking. You're going to need to spend time figuring out. And I know I'm still trying to figure this out myself, because I was studying through this text and I was like, huh, Paul, what are you trying to tell me here? Right? But I look at my own life and I've spent a lot of time and energy and effort trying to live what I would think is a fairly good life. You know, try to figure out how do I make what I make and save for my kids' college and their education? How do I love the people around me? How do I excel as best as I can at my career and my job? How do I do all of the tasks, including taking care of my family and my parents, that I need to do? And how do I do it all while I follow Jesus? And Paul says, did you catch what he said at the beginning, the very first verse? He says, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ. I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ. See, what you have to know is that when Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians, he was sitting in jail in Rome. He was sitting in jail in Rome. And he was surrounded by bars. But what Paul says is, I'm not in jail in Rome. I'm a prisoner of Jesus. I'm a prisoner of Jesus in heaven. And I'm trapped, and all I get to see is the glory of God. Paul had a whole new vision of reality because he was connected with Christ. His imagination took him away and he saw life differently. You and I, you know, you can have a completely different vision of reality when you are connected with Christ. Look around and you say, bars? There's no bars. I see only the glory of God in everything I have. Whether there is difficulty and struggle and shame, I see God's glory in all of it. And then Paul even goes on to say this, right? I walk into a coffee shop late and I say, I'm not good enough for this job. But did you hear what Paul said? Paul said, although I am less than the least. Paul said, although I am less than the least. See, we say we're not good enough. Paul says, I'm terrible and I know it. But I am terrible, and that's enough for Christ. That's enough for Christ. I have everything then in Christ. And are you willing to talk about yourself differently and say, I'm terrible, but that's enough for Jesus. That's enough for Him, and He'll take me because He wants me. He wants to be connected to me just as I am. Friends, see, Christians, when we're connected with Christ, our whole lives is putting on a show. Instead of living with shame, we put on a show. Did you catch that, what Paul says last? He says in verse 10, and I want to read this for us, and then we'll wrap this up. Paul says here, his intent, God's intent this is, okay? God's intent was that now, through the church, through us, through His people, the manifold wisdom of God. Manifold, that means beautiful, the colorful, the glorious, the awesome. Manifold means not like an engine manifold or exhaust manifold. Manifold means full of color and beautiful. The manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities. Where? The rulers and authorities, not here on earth, but in heaven. How many of you would like to have a camera on you for a day? How many of you would love your life to be a reality show? What if I told you that you could have a camera follow you around all day and everything you did and everything you say would be broadcast to billions of people around the world? Most of us would go, ah, right? Unless we're like under 8, then we would think that's probably kind of cool. That's what you have on your life. There is. Your life has a camera on it, and it is projected not to billions of people around the world, but to billions upon however many angels and powers and authorities there are in the heavens. Every single one of them is watching your life. And God loves to see the compassion, the kindness, the forgiveness, the honesty, the sorrow, the joy, the fear. He loves to see all of it because you are connected to Christ. Take courage, friends. Be brave. Have a big heart and put on a show for the angels. Will you do that with me, please? Let's pray for that. Heavenly God and Father, you have connected yourself to us in Jesus Christ, who opened up the heart of God to us. You showed us the depths of your love, of your majesty, of your compassion for all humanity. You have put us together so that we can be connected to you, and now that we're connected to you, we can put on a show not for this world, but for you. You can see just how sin works in our lives and how forgiveness overcomes it. We let you see how hardship can be turned into joy when we have the gospel. Powerfully work this among us, Lord Jesus, for your sake. Take away our shame and make our hearts brave. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you join with me, please, and confess our faith in this Jesus who has made us glorious in the sight of Christ with the words of the Apostles' Creed?